Leafs Wings tonight in Detroit on TSN 4. He's going to call the game for TSN. Here's Ray Ferraro joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Am I missing someone? Is there a forward that you've seen over these seven games without Matthews that, that's really elevated their game?
No. You know, I kind of laughed when you remember when he was hurt the first time and you said if the Leafs go in the tank, it makes Matthews more of an MVP candidate. And then they won the first couple of games and you're like, yeah, yeah, ha-ha to you.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, they look like a lot of other teams without him there, don't they?
Yeah.
Like, that's not just taking a centerman out of the lineup. That's taking one of the game's better players, like one of the league's better players out of the lineup. And how would you replace that? He's elevated. Like last week, I thought Hyman was terrific again. But he does the same thing all the time. He's not going to elevate the other guys around him. But I have, you know, as for the guys that could, I think the guys were, when I got on, probably talking about Marner and Nylander, they certainly haven't.
No, they haven't. I mean, Nylander played a lot last night. He played almost 20 minutes, I think, if not 20 minutes. But I guess, you know, stats do change the conversation.
Right.
Right? Like, if they got a couple of lucky bounces here or there, you might be like, oh, actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, they really are elevating their game. But I look at, like, Marner last night had a couple of opportunities in the third period. There was on the same shift, and it was like a two-on-one. He could have kind of driven to the net, and he tried to do, like, a 360 spinorama pass that totally went awry.
Yep.
And then he left the zone, picked it back up, and came back in and just skated into the corner and, like, threw it behind the net. Like, they just don't seem to have any mojo right now. Like, Marner last night anywhere, that's what I witnessed. He just didn't have any mojo to his game.
None of them do.
The tricks he was trying to pull off just weren't working. And if they don't, you look silly.
And so, you know, after the game, Babcock comes out and he says, you know, I think we're playing pretty well, feel pretty good about ourselves. You know, I don't know why we'd be squeezing our sticks. And, you know, that to me had the smell of, you know, a guy trying to keep the tires full because they haven't played very well. I don't know how you could think or, you know, how he could really think they are. They won games that they didn't play particularly well. Now they, you know, and I looked it up today, got some help with it, but so in October and November, they were over 3.5 goals a game and they were 17-9. And in January, or December rather, they're 1.5 goals a game. So he's curious why guys are squeezing their stick. Well, when guys that are supposed to score don't score, it doesn't matter what else is happening. They start to squeeze their stick. It's uncomfortable. You know you're not doing your job. And that, to your point about not having any mojo, they didn't even generate anything until the third period. Hell, what did they have? 6 shots at 31 minutes last night. 3 of them were on that first power play. Like, they got nothing done.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Babcock, I'm with you. I think he realizes his team is not where it used to be or where it could be, and teams go up and down, and this team has had that all year. They've had inconsistencies. They started 6-1, then they lost 5 of 6 in regulation, then they won 6 in a row, and now they're kind of back into a bit of a tailspin here. But I do think on the flip side of it, it's not like Minnesota had unbelievable opportunities.
No,
like, I think Babcock would walk away from that game and say, yeah, clearly we need to generate more. Obviously, I want to win, and you have to score to do that. But I think the coach in him probably liked their effort defensively last night because Minnesota didn't really do anything either.
Yeah.
No, there was large stretches of that there didn't look like anybody was ever going to get another shot.
No.
let alone a goal. I mean, it was just kind of...
Ray,
again,
let's just be thankful we didn't do the game.
Yes, just watching it was enough, wasn't it?
Yes.
So, but how do you change it? Like, on each line, there seems to be somebody not close on it. And so then you're...
All right, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. It's been a long run. We haven't had one of those in quite some time.
You've had a good run.
We actually had a great run. A very quality cell reception, but that was enough.
Well, you can tell he's in a dirty tunnel in Detroit somewhere.
That new rink, though, it seems like it's pretty nice.
No one goes. Nobody shows up for the Red Wing games.
they never get chirped either. A lot of times, like Jay and Dan or SportsCenter, they'll pan the crowd in Florida. Where else they pan it? Carolina, Arizona.
Old hockey town looks like a bit of a ghost town right now.
It does.
They're like, in trouble, man.
But isn't that amazing? You go to the playoffs every year for 25 years. You win all those cups, and you miss once, and people are like, nah.
Well,
more of a Lions fan now. I'm into the Tigers
but
or
you have to look at
Wolverines.
The economy there is...
The economy factors.
You can only look at one thing. It's the star power they had there for so many years. Nick Lidstrom was there for 20 years. Stevie Eiserman for 20. It's like...
Okay, but you were spoiled for that long.
Yeah, they were spoiled.
Like, okay, are you going to sit in your couch and say, I want to wheel down there and watch Athanasiou play?
Listen, man.
It's actually a pretty good
I've lived
player.
In Toronto. I'm going
I get
to
it, but it's getting you
life.
Off your couch.
No, I know what you mean. I just... They are in a transition. That's the Red Wings. Ken Holland came out this morning. I think he was on Leafs Lunch.
Yeah, he was.
And said that the next 10 or 15 games, we're going to see what our team is.
Well, we got Ray back, I think. You there, Ray?
I am. I'm just watching Al Sobotka drive the Zamboni around the new rink.
Oh, so you're inside
Same
the
Zamboni,
rink.
Same Zamboni, new rink.
Is that the guy that grabs the octopus?
That's him.
Don't shake his hand.
No, I won't. That's a good point. I'm standing on the Red Wings bench, actually.
So, well, we were talking about how no one shows up at these games, and I mean, you talk about a spoiled fan base.
Yeah, I got a little insight into that today. I got a tour of the building. So, the lower bowl, you know, like when the Leafs weren't very good, and the start of period, there was nobody in the seats. Because everybody was underneath in their little sweet cubby holes there, eating and having some beers and stuff, right? Now, it doesn't look like that because the team is better and they get back out for the start of period and whatever else they've done to help encourage the people to get out of the suites to get back to the stand. Well, the tickets here right in the low area, you walk up, I'm looking at it right now. There's like about 12 rows that are connected to this club that goes underneath. It's an enormous restaurant under there. It's awesome. You should see the wine on the wall. Like, it's an amazing place. The next section, they've got another restaurant that they can go into. It's got couches and TVs and more food and more booze. And the team's not exciting. So people come and they're like, you know what, for my $300 ticket or my $125 ticket, I'm going to get my money's worth. And so they go eat dinner and have a glass of wine and a couple beers, and then they come out and the period's half over. And so O's right. They are spoiled. They've been spoiled, and now you got to find another star. Well, last year was their first top 10 pick in 20 years, and they drafted ninth. The only way you can get a star is to draft first or second. And they've not been in that spot for 25 years. So it becomes pretty hard. And so there's people here that are saying, well, why don't they tank? Well, because you could tank and end up drafting fourth or fifth, which has happened to Vancouver the last couple of years.
Well, I would argue
there's no guarantee, right?
They're tanking just naturally. They're just not any good. They don't want to tank like Vancouver. Vancouver and
right.
The Leafs.
But you can play and you're just tanking. You're not doing what Buffalo did a couple of years ago.
Well, exactly.
Right? But you eventually draft 25th all the time, and a couple of those guys don't hit. They don't come to the NHL now. You got no players, and you're trying to fill in around the edges of the roster and hope that Dylan Larkin and Andreas Athanasiou and Anthony Mantha, and you hope that those guys become really good players for you.
Well, if they end up selling, who on that team would you even be wanting? Like, who would you be going
for? I don't know.
For?
Noodles is going to say no guy. The right. Original segment, yes guy, no guy. That Peter Mrazek, I would take a sniff around him.
Well,
if I'm Florida or some team that's looking for goaltending help,
he's certainly an upgrade on what's been floating around out there. Like,
you just take a shot at it.
But the thing is, and Ray, you could chime in on it. The knock on or the book on Mrazek is there's some raw skill, but he's got
an attitude
and a cockiness to him that he hasn't backed up.
You never know, though. Sometimes you just tell a guy, you're our number one, you're our go-to guy, and they just start believing it.
Somebody will grab him because he's making too much money this year, and they're probably not going to qualify him, so he'll be a free agent this summer.
Right. So here are the guys, I think. You got Mrazek in goal. I think they'll move him over the course of the year. Jimmy Howard's playing all the games anyway. You got Mike Green on defense. I think a good team will take a, you know, you're not going to get a whole lot of return back, but I think somebody will take Mike Green. He had 14 goals last year. Maybe they move either, you know, somebody like Tatar or Nyquist. That brings you back a little more return. Like, it's just what you say. Even they can say they're not rebuilding, but of course they are. You know, like, of course they are. That's really the only way you get from this position to a better one is you have to rebuild what you have.
Ray, would you, this is just, I mean, speaking wildly, but if you were the Leafs, would you sniff around Mike Green?
He's such a wild card. He always has been.
I don't think he defends very well at all.
So you have to balance. What am I getting there with what he can give us moving the puck and running the power play? Because he can still run a power play. And he can still jump into the rush, and he can still be a really dangerous guy. You have to balance or try to understand in your head, is he more dangerous up the ice, or is he more dangerous near your own net?
Well, ask...
You know, and so... But, I mean, look at their defense. Like, I'm watching Zaitsev play, and, man, he never breaks a cycle. Like, they start cycling the puck on him and Gardner, and it just
none
continues
of them do,
until
Ray.
They lose the puck. I'm sorry?
None of them do. They don't break cycles. They're not physical. They just, they're stick on stick. They want to push with their hand. And
well, does Nicholas Cronwall have anything left?
No.
I think the legs are...
You wouldn't touch that?
I like him. I just think that there's so much mileage on him that...
And he's got a year left after this,
yeah,
I believe,
that's,
on his team.
But Green's a pending unrestricted free agent. I just think he's a wild card. Like, you want to see how he defends. Watch that Marchand overtime goal the other night.
Yeah.
And you can see how it goes.
You know, The Wings have lost six games in overtime. They're 0-6. And I think Boston's in third in the Atlantic. They got 35 points. So if they tell themselves here, if you have won half of them, you're only 3 points behind Boston. So that's how I think that's how the coaches keep selling to compete and to look, you know, we're close. We've played well, but we don't win. You know, we're kind of in that mindset. But They're not gonna be good enough to make the playoffs. So I think there'll come a time, as you mentioned, Ken said on Leaf Lunch, there'll come a time when they go, okay, now's the time to start moving some guys. And yeah, to me, it's either Tatar or Nyquist. It's Mrazek, it's Green. Maybe it's Jonathan Erickson, who would be a third pair defenseman somewhere and probably do a pretty good job for them.
Yeah, I like that guy.
For whoever would acquire him. Yeah, he's big and he leans on you, and if you're not playing him 20 minutes a night, I think he would be a good pickup for somebody. But again, if you're Detroit, you've already got 11 draft picks this year. Like, what are you going to have, 17? Like, you need a player back at some point, don't you? Like somebody that's a little younger, that's got years left under team control, and you can just see when you look at it, you go, man, I can see what they should do. But how do you do it? Because you got to get somebody else to trade with you. You got to get somebody else to give you a player. You got to fit it under the cap. You want a number one center? Great. Go draft one, or else you're not getting them. You want a number one D? You better win the lottery, because Dahlin's not going to be there at two.
Well, I guess Babcock just spoke with the media, and to no one's surprise, Matthews is out again tonight. So it makes you wonder, like, how is he possibly a game time decision? Last
Even for Tuesday,
Sunday. Against the Oilers. Yeah, game time, we'll see. No, not game time. You knew he wasn't playing. And I think they know what's going on. They know how close he is. But I guess Kapanen is in for Levo tonight. And McElhinney's going to start. And I thought Levo had some chances last night. But
I'm with you, Brian. Maybe I'm seeing something that's not there.
Yeah.
But I'm like, man, that kid can absorb a check on the forecheck. He holds the puck. He makes a good play. He's around the net. And out he goes again. But before I got cut off before, I'm like, eventually, don't they just have to look and go, wait a minute, we got three goals and about 17 minutes a night from Leo Komarov.
He played like, 19 minutes last night, right? 19. He's got.
He played,
I think he's got
20 in Pittsburgh.
Right, and I saw a bunch of people were tweeting about him today, and I think he's got like one even strength point all year. One.
And
that's
so,
not good.
Like I don't buy the balance there. That oh, he, you know, he does a good job checking, and yes, he does. I get that, but right now he's checking Kadri.
Right.
Because do you remember? Oh, you'd have a guy in your line. You're like, oh man, like something, please, anything. Because maybe sometimes we were that guy. I know I was. They were probably looking at me and going, "The hell, could you help out here sooner or later?"
I like something, chipping an assist,
like just anything. How about a pass? Like Komarov works hard. He does his thing, but nothing happens.
No.
And so you've got. Nylander plays 20 minutes with Kadri last night. That's great, but it's really tough to, like, I remember Komarov at his best, keeping the cycle going, holding the forecheck, getting in and being aggressive. He doesn't or can't do that right now.
Drawing penalties. He never draws penalties. Like, you got to have the puck. You got to be in the mix.
Yeah.
You know, you got to hit somebody. He can't even throw hits because he doesn't get there quick enough. He's been really ineffective.
So I wonder if there, don't you think there's a time where, you know, maybe Komarov becomes the guy that plays with, you know, I mean, in my world, plays with Martin and Moore. And you use him to penalty kill, and he plays 10 or 11 minutes, and he can give you a more energetic 10 or 11 minutes or 12 minutes mm-hmm. than trying to stretch it out for 16, 17, 18 minutes.
Yep.
Like, maybe it becomes that. I'll tell you, though, for Kapanen in here, he's going to get a chance, and he's got to try and run through the door with this a little bit here. There's a little – things aren't going so smoothly, even though, you know, the points have been there. But there's an opportunity here for him again, and he seems to – you know, he seems to have outgrown the American League a little bit. That seems to be the report when he's there. So now he's got a chance, and he's got to try and grab the ring a little bit tonight.
Leafs wings on TSN 4 tonight. Puck drop at 7:30, pregame at 7. We're looking forward to it. Enjoy it tonight, and we'll catch up Monday at 5 p.m.
I'd like to put a vote in for Frank Cervelli, please.
Yes.
What is up with
that?
Is
he the runaway winner?
Of what? The guy who looks the oldest yet is somehow the youngest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he the winner?
It has to be. He's 29. Wow. He's in his 20s.
But Leo Routens is the other way.
Right.
Leo Routens is close to 60, and he looks like he's 40, and he's got the body of a 20-year-old.
Yeah, Leo's like...
I wouldn't guess that. No way.
O said he saw him jogging on the lakeshore with no tarp on. He said he was embarrassed to go say hello.
Yeah, because I was like fat and sweaty. I had a full sweatshirt on, and...
And Leo's got no tarp on, just jacked.
He's like 57 years old, I think.
Wow.
And Leo...
Last year we were at the World Junior in Montreal, and somehow we got into a conversation, and I think it was Tessa said, "Yeah, Frank's 28." I'm like, "Oh, shut up!" And she pulled it up, and I'm like, "Are you? I've got a son that's 29."
Right.
I'm like, "Are you serious?"
I know.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm 5 years older than Frank. It's not possible. I need an update on that. I need to see a birth certificate. I'm a truther now. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Anyway,
Frank must love this conversation.
Oh, this will be. Yeah. He'll be listening to this podcast over and over again with a smile on his face, I'm sure. Anyway, enjoy it tonight.
We'll talk to you later. I'm just trying to stay out of the way now. Ken Daniels is shooting an award-winning video, I think, here or something. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but
all right.
I'm now in the middle of his video. I got to get out of here. Or two.
Say hi to Kenny for us.
Yeah, we love Ken.
We will do that.
All right,
he's
buddy.
An awesome guy. We'll say hi.
There he is. Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.